Morning. Today's daf and sota is Lamed Tes. We start today on Lamed Ches Lamed Beis Birchas Kohanim. It's a topic of discussion, has been yesterday, will be today, and will continue tomorrow as well. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf as well as Zeichon Nishmas Lubegar B'Yalav Bashmuel. A number of statements that were made by Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. So we started quoting them yesterday, and we continue. The statements by Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi start on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, towards the top of the Amud. You in fact see the Simanim, and then after the Simanim, the Gemara then just starts rattling them off. Just to get a slightly bigger picture of what's been going on. Seventh parak of Sota has been dedicated to the topic of things that have to be said by Lashon HaKodesh versus things that can be said by Chol Lashon. The Mishnah going all the way back to Lamed Beis taught us that there are a number of things that can be said by Chol Lashon, seven in total, and then the Mishnah goes on to record, but there are things that have to be said by Lashon HaKodesh, one of them being Birchas Kohanim. So it gave the Mishnah the opportunity in the next Mishnah, meaning yesterday's Mishnah, yesterday's daf, an opportunity to talk about Birchas Kohanim and why Birchas, not why, but the Mishnah rarely discusses why, but how Birchas Kohanim must be said by Lashon HaKodesh. The Mishnah noted that there were three notable differences between duchening in the Beis HaMikdash versus duchening outside the Beis HaMikdash. The three main differences we learned yesterday in the Mishnah is that three brachas versus one bracha. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, we answer Amen after every pasuk. In the Beis HaMikdash, we don't answer Amen. That's a general issue. We don't answer Amen outside the Beis HaMikdash. Two, we're using Shem HaShem. Inside the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim say Shem HaMafarish. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, they do not. And in terms of how high you raise your hand, outside the Beis HaMikdash, so they raise their hands up to the shoulder, but inside the Beis HaMikdash, where there's more Shechina, so they raise their hands even higher, even above their head. Notable exception being the Kohen Gadol, who's wearing the tzitz, so he doesn't raise his hands above his head because it's improper to raise it above the tzitz. These are the basic points that we went over yesterday. We are now on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, and halachas, basic halachas as it relates to the Birchas Kohanim. We noted yesterday that if a Kohen goes up to Duchen and takes a pass, meaning instead of going up, opts not to go up. So the Gemara said yesterday that on occasion that could call into question his pedigree as being a Kohen. But the Gemara says, but not always. Meaning if he goes up Leprakim, if he goes up from time to time, so then it does not challenge his pedigree as being a Kohen. Tosis gives a different pshat in the Gemara, but that was one statement we saw yesterday by Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. You have to start making your way up by Ritzei. So, meaning Ritzei, the bracha before Modim, right? Kohanim Meduchening after Modim, meaning before Sim Shalom, right? Between bracha number 18 and 19, right? We have 19 brachas of Shemon Esrei. So between 18 and 19, that's when the Kohanim Meduchening. So when should the Kohanim go up? So before Ritzei, meaning a bracha ahead of time, right? They're going to be up by the Amud hearing two brachas, the bracha of Ritzei and the bracha of Modim. So why? So the Gemara pointed out yesterday, because Ritzei is the bracha of Avoda, and we know that duchening is associated with avoda. That was we covered that topic twice yesterday. That duchening and avoda are really they're connected, right? The level of connection is not perfectly clear, but they're certainly connected. So by Ritzei, they should already make their way up. The Gemara, however, clarified that point yesterday, and the Gemara said that they don't have to be up by Ritzei, but they have to certainly start be walking up toward by Ritzei. This is pretty much what we got up to. Tananami. We learned in the Mishnah. Okay, now we're going to be quoting a Mishnah together in Brachos. We're in the middle of Lamed Ches Amud Beis, and we start today with the Mishnah Brachos. Im Hiftechu Shenoseis Kapa V'Chozel Tfilas Rashai. Let's say you have a Kohen who's confident. His confidence is such where he can multitask. He can daven for the Amud, and he can also duchen. He feels like he could do both. So Im Hiftechu Shenoseis Kapa V'Chozel Tfilas Rashai. So if this Cohen feels that he can duchen and also return back to his tefillah and not lose his place, that would be perfectly fine. Ba'avinam ba'alo akar. So the Gemara says, and on that we're just a little bit bothered because there was no akira, meaning he didn't make his way up. So didn't we say that one of the basic requirements of duchening is you have to make your way up? So ela denat porta. So hachinami da'akar porta. So the Gemara says, okay, so it must be that not porta, he made some sort of small movement, without being too descriptive of what that small movement is, but he made some sort of small movement. So here also, meaning in the halacha that you must go up to the duchen by Ritzei, it doesn't mean that you have to be there. It means that you have to make a movement going up there. All right.
Does he face the
Uh, he's, Presumably he turns around, yeah. He faced panim upon him. It has to be face to face. I'm Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, ain't no stink kosher brach levarach ala tova ayin. Another statement by Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, unconnected to the previous, but again, a number of members by Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. The kosher bracha, right? You're going to be benching. So who do you give the cup of benching to? So generally speaking, that's what kosher bracha means. Kosher bracha could mean, in general, right? There's kosyain that's connected, it's associated with various brachos. But as we know, generally speaking, the Gemara says it means specifically by benching. So who do you hand it to? Who do you give it to? Rashi over here says we're talking about benching. So kosher bracha levarich, ela letov ayin. So it must be given to somebody who is literally a good eye, but it means he's generous, right? A very giving individual. So the pasuk kinasam lachmal adam. So a tov ayin, a person who's generous, so he will be blessed. Because he gives of his bread to the poor people. So kriu ksiv. So even though the pasuk means that he will be blessed, but also another understanding of the pasuk is that he will also do the blessing as well. Meaning, it's most appropriate for him to be leading in the benching. I'm Rav Yishuv Levi Minayin She'afilu Ofos Makirin Bitzari Ayin. How do we know that even birds are familiar with people who are stingy? Right? If Tov Ayin is generous, Sari Ayin is just the opposite. Someone who's stingy. She'namar Ki Chinam Mizara Reshes Beinai Ki Kol Bal Kanaf. Any winged bird. I'm sorry. So a pasuk in Mishle giving an indication that the birds know they have a recognition of who's generous and who's stingy. I'm Rav Yehoshua ben Levi kol anena mitzarayin over belav. Anyone who benefits from someone who's stingy is in violation of a lav. Shenemar al telachem es lechemra. So don't take bread from someone who is not really that happy to part with it. So lechem ra'ayin ki kemoshar benafsho kein hu ochel v'shaso yom alacha chule v'chule v'chule. So the again pasuk in Mishle giving an indication that it's not right. It's not right to take somebody. The Gemara says it's a lav. The Gemara probably does not mean that it's a bona fide isur lav. It's the Gemara is not quoting a pasuk in Chumash. The Gemara is quoting a pasuk in Mishle. Just from a hashkafic standpoint, it's not right. You shouldn't take money for, or in this case, bread from somebody who is really not happy to part with it. Rav Nachma Yitzchak Amar over bishnei lav and altalachim altitav. So Rav Nachma Yitzchak goes one step further. It's not one lav. It's two lavin. So again, I know I just said it's probably not nisur daraisa, but and now we're. Now we're counting the number of lavin. But again, I think, you know, please forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think the basic idea of the Gemara is that it's just, we're talking now degrees, meaning how bad is it? So on one hand, Rav Yehoshua ben Levi says it's one lav, and Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, yeah, but if you look carefully at the Pasuk twice says don't do it, right? Lo telachem v'lo titav. Don't take bread from such an individual. Don't want bread from such an individual. Meaning it's really bad to take from somebody who doesn't want to give. I'm Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, ein egla rufa ba ela bishvil tzari ayin. Egla rufa, which actually is a topic coming up later in our Masechta, right? So that's where you're going to find all the halachas of egla rufa. I mean, we're never going to... I mean, maybe we will one day, but we're never going to see the procedure. But anyway, we'll talk about it later. Right now, this is again just in the context of stringing together statements by Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Another one to add on is that you know why we're going to have an egla rufa because of tzarayin, because of stinginess. I'm sure everyone knows. Just back up for just a moment. Egla rufa. There was a body found, a victim, and. And somewhere between two cities measure, and we find the city that's more proximate, and the zakenim of that city have to go through a procedure of egla rufa, which we'll describe in much greater detail later on in this very mesechta. Okay, so anyway, that's the procedure of egla rufa. Well, how come it happened? Meaning, now the Gemara is giving b'derech hadrush. What was the root source of the problem? So the Gemara over here quotes a drasha. This drasha is popular, I would say. Rashi brings and down on Chumash, v'chi ali ben al tash zekenim based in shofchei damim. So the zekenim are exonerating themselves, and the Gemara's question is: You really think they were involved in the murder? Meaning the zekenim. So the Gemara says shofchei damim. Ela lo bali adenu pachanu v'lo reinu v'nachtahu. So what they're exonerating themselves from was basically not being hospitable. Meaning here's what we're not guilty from, and how do we know, by the way? They're reading the psukim. they're reading the psukim. Maybe they were, but this is what they have to be careful of. They have to be careful of making sure that when people are passing through town, they were inhospitable. So the Gemara says, and the Gemara just simply breaks it up into two parts. Lo bali adinu pachanuhu b'lam mizonos, meaning we didn't see somebody travel through our city and we just simply let him go without food, and v'lo reinu v'nachtu b'lo levia, and we didn't escort, and we didn't have somebody and not escort him out, meaning that we fed people, we escorted people. Escorting is one of the key components to the mitzvah of hachnasas orchim, and not only bringing them in, but levia, escorting them out. Anyway, so how come someone had egla rufa? So obviously the key considerations over here are being non-hospitable, meaning being cheap. And being stingy, not being generous. So the Gemara says that's the connection between not being generous and resulting in the Egla Rufa. Amar Ada, Amar Rabbi Simlai, basic connection, Shekula Kohanim. Okay. That concludes our statements of Rav Yehoshua Malevi. 8 statements in total of Rav Yehoshua Malevi. Most of them have to do with Birchas Kohanim. Some of them don't. And now the Gemara is going to go back and return to Halachas regarding Birchas Kohanim. Amar Ada, Amar Rabbi Simlai, basic connection, Shekula Kohanim. What are the shuls made up totally of Kohanim? Okay, a strange scenario, right? Sometimes you'll find shuls being Kohen heavy, sometimes you'll find them being Kohen light, but the, right, I know you suffer from that problem. What do you do if it's Kula Kohanim? Okay, so unlikely, but what would the halacha be? So Kulan Olan L'duchan. So the Gemara says, okay, they all go up, meaning every one of them has a mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, so they're all going to go up. So the scene, of course, is extraordinarily comical, meaning you have all the Kohanim going up and duchening, and then you have, who's the recipient of the bracha? Nobody, meaning they're benching an empty room. Okay, and the Gemara says, "Lamim mavarchin." That's the Gemara's next point. So who's the recipient of such a bracha? I'm Rabbi Zera la'achim shebasado. So the Gemara says, should sound familiar. We heard this at the end of Masechta Rosh Hashanah. So you know who they're benching? They're benching achim shebasados. They're the brothers out in the field. Okay, meaning people who are working. So the Gemara says, "Ini v'atni abba bereid rav minyamin barachia." I'm she'achari kohanim inim b'chal bracha. The Gemara says, "Really? Well, that's funny because we know that even if you're in shul and you're behind the Kohanim, meaning we learned yesterday, one of the key components of Birchas Kohanim, panim el panim, it has to be face to face. So let's say you're in shul, but you're behind the Kohanim. You're not included in the bracha. So the Gemara says, so how can we even make now an argument that you have the shul of Kohanim, all of them going up to Dochen, who are they benching? Am shebasados, the people out in the field. Are you kidding? Even the people in shul, if they're not panim el panim, but they're not face to face with the Kohanim, they're not getting the bracha. Correct. So lokasha hadanisi hadalanisi. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to make the following distinction. There's a difference between, says the Gemara, being in shul and not facing the Kohanim versus being unable to go to shul. Rashi says the lo anisi. I'm sorry. Back up one Rashi. Am shepesados danisi b'mlachta meyuchom lavo. Okay, people work. Some people can't make it to shul. Okay, the the Gemara's language is onus. So let's assume, just you know, from a Dalakov schuh standpoint, their job just is too demanding. And the Lamanis Hamdim and basic anesis, Acharekoanim. And those who are not onus, so those are the people who are in shul, but for whatever reasons they feel, it's okay not to be in front of the Kohanim. Rashi writes, but basic anesis, Acharekoanim, Lamanisi, Elisha Aina Bracha, Chashuva Alehem, La Karaglim, Lavalafne Kohanim. Right now, for whatever reason, they feel like, you know what? I'm comfortable. This is my makom kavua. Like I'm here. Don't worry. The bracha will get to me. Leos mizbarchim panim keneged panim. Kedas hilkach einan bechal bracha kedarminan kosevarchu panim keneged panim. That's why they're not going to be receiving the bracha, because they're literally in shul. Just feel like it's not worth my effort and time to get into the position of panim keneged panim. Okay, back to the Gemara. V'hatani Rav Shimon miberta de shichure beis haknesses shekula kohanim miktsasam olam miktsasam onim amein. So the Gemara says, okay, here's a new issue, a new problem. So fine. So the Gemara resolves the issue of of people in shul not getting a bracha versus people outside who are working and are anusim. Now the Gemara presents a new problem in that we have another statement by another Amora who says that it seems like it's a brisa that if you have a shul kula kohanim, some go up to give the bracha, some stay back to receive the bracha. Now that's not what we said previously. We said previously that if it's kula kohanim, they all go up. Lo kasha ha di ishtayir be asara ha de lo ishtayir be asara. So the Gemara gives a distinction. The Gemara does not explain the distinction, but the distinction is that if some of them were to go up, and there still be 10 behind to be receiving the bracha, good. So then some should go up and some should be standing behind to receive. In terms of making the executive decision of who's going up and who's receiving, I'll leave that to the Gabbai. The Gabbai will make that decision. The Gemara does not explain who gets, you know, how we're going to make this determination. But that's when we're going to split the Kohanim into the Mivarech and the Mivarach. However, if we don't have enough people where you have a group of Kohanim going up and you have 10 standing back to receive the bracha, then they're all going to go up. Rashi writes, Ishtar be'asara miksasam olon l'duchan va'asara onin amein, lo ishtar be'asara lo chashiv l'vracha l'chudayim, hilka chulan olam u'mavarchan l'achem shebesadu. So, if I have a collection of Kohanim, and by the way, the Gemara nor Rashi makes it clear how many Kohanim need to go up in such a scenario, but certainly seems like more than one. If I have a collection of Kohanim who are going up, and I don't have 10 behind, so let's say, for example, the minyan is exactly 10, so then they're all going to go up. Who is going to be the Mivorach, who's receiving the bracha? So that we go back to what we learned previously, the Am Shebesados.
So we're assuming that it's outside of Shiach Tziburis, not, right? You're going to go up.
The Shlich Tzibur could be a Kohen as well. We learned the Mishnah Brachos. Mishnah Brachos says that Shlich Tzibur could be a Kohen. He'll just simply turn around and he'll give the Brachos as well. Gufa. Tana Abba Breit. Okay, the Makri is an issue, but whatever. That's Halacha. Tana Abba Breit, Rav Minyamin Brachia, Amsha Achari Kohanim, Eina Bechlal Bracha. Okay, so if you're behind the Kohanim, so again, we know the positioning. We've done this enough times. So the Kohanim are going to turn around. They're going to face the people. You're going to face Kohanim. Okay. And Panim, can I get Panim? Again, basic halacha in the world of Birchas Kohanim. So now you're behind the Kohen. That's not good. We already established that. The Gemara says we know. Pshita. So the Gemara says, that's obvious. Aricha ba'ape gutze lamavsike. If I have, let's say, somebody who's standing in front of me who's very tall. He's blocking my view. Gemara says that's not going to be a hefsek. Meaning, even though I can't see the Kohanim, I know the minhag, of course, is not to look at the Kohanim, but in other words, in theory, I can't see the Kohen. As long as I'm in his direct line of vision, so that's fine. The Gemara says that's not going to be a hefsek. Teva lo mafsike, and the Gemara says, and I also know for sure that if I'm behind the teva, right, the bima. So once again, that's also not going to be hefsek as well. So the Gemara says mechitza mai. But what if I'm behind the mechitza? Okay, some sort of wall, some sort of barrier. So what would be the halacha? So the Gemara says that's the question. Tashma, Damar Rav Yishua ben Levi. So once again, the Gemara quotes Rav Yishua ben Levi. Afila mechitza shabar zalainam asekes ben yisrael la'aviyam shebeshamayim. So the Gemara quotes that it's going to be fine. It's not going to be hefsek whatsoever. Okay. Ibai lahu. So now we get to the question, which probably is, you know, one of those things where even after the Gemara discusses, I'm still not going to have full clarity on what the issue is. So we know in front of the Kohanim good, behind the Kohanim bad, and what about to the side? And even when we say to the side, what do we mean to the side? What kind of angle are we talking about? Okay, so that's unclear. All I know is that we're discussing now not in the line of vision, not behind, but somewhere off to the side. So, Ibailu, what if you're off to the side? So, my Mahu, Amar Abba Bar Mar, I'm sorry, Amar Abba Mar Bar Ravashi, Tashma Didna. So, the Gemara says here, we're going to resolve this question quoting a Mishnah in Parah. It's an unusual place to go in Shas to try to resolve the issue. It may be unusual, but it's, as you'll see, we're going to learn a Mishnah together. It's going to resolve our question. The halacha regarding paraduma, the mitzvah regarding paraduma is to take the ashes of the burnt paraduma, mix it together with mayim chayim, and sprinkle on the person who's tamei meis on day 3 and day 7. And we just did nazir. We've heard this time and again. Good. That's the mitzvah. The Mishnah over here is describing the scene in which the kohen is actually sprinkling the tamei with the with the Meipara. So Nizkav Lahazos Lefanov Vihizal Acharav. Now he has intent, and his intent is to sprinkle the person that's in front of him. So this Kohen now was basically whipping the Azov. He's taking the Azov, he's dipping it in to the water and ashes, and now he's whipping it in front. And he's just not, he's not that coordinated, and so by mistake, instead of whipping in front, he's whipping behind. And as it turns out, there was also a Tommy person waiting in line who was behind him. But he didn't know that the Tommy person was behind him. It just, in other words, all this happened by, frankly, by accident. V'hiza la'achrav, or la'achrav v'hiza la'fanav, or, oddly enough, his intent was to hit the person behind him. I don't know why he felt that, you know, he's going to whip backwards, but his intent was to hit the person behind him. V'hiz alafanav. So hazah, so psula, so this is not good. Meaning you need kavana. The hazah, the sprinkling, needs intent. What kind of intent? Take a look at the first Rashi on Lama Tessam at Aleph. Rashi writes, V'izal acharav, v'af sham hayu kelim hatzrichim hazah. Okay, sorry. Rashi here describes kelim. I describe people. Next Rashi is what I wanted. Hazah psula Rashi debi'in and kavana latara. Because there has to be an intent by the, on the part of the Kohen, where not only you're sprinkling, but you're sprinkling with kavana. And kavana to be mitahir. Kedichsiv v'izah ha-tahor alatameh shi'im echat miskavin lo. Fine, so I need to have kavana for that individual, and I need to have kavana to be mitahir him. That's the Mishnah in Para. But let's go on, because the Mishnah doesn't stop there. V'izah lefana v'izah sapsula. Lefana v'izah tzadav. Let's say his intent was to be mazeh in front of him, and it went off to the side. It sprayed off to the side. So it didn't go directly to the front of his line of vision, but it went off to the side. V'izah tzadav. Shebefana v'izah so, I'm sorry. Hazah so k'shera. So the Mishnah in Para says that is acceptable. So that's considered, even if off to the side, that's considered in front of him. In other words, the arc, if you will, is not just simply directly in front, but it could be off to the sides as well. Good. So I told you now that the issue is resolved. Stadim is included in front, but even then, you know, you don't know what the arc is including. Is it including the peripheral vision? Is it going a full 90 degree angle? Is it a perpendicular? That part is unclear. And you'll notice that what people try to do is they try to position themselves so they are more in front of the cone. But the Gemara concludes very clearly, not defining what stadim are, but at least we know that it's not directly in front. It also includes off to the sides as well. Amar Rava bar Rav Huna kevin she niftach sefer Torah also lasaper afil b'dvar halacha. Okay. The Gemara is going to go off on a small tangent, leaving the world of Birchas Kohanim for just a minute, and we'll come back. Once the Sefer Torah is open up, we're talking about Kriyas HaTorah, right? We have a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, and then for a later institution to do it, Shabbos afternoon, Monday morning, Thursday morning, right? We're familiar. So once the Sefer Torah is open up, Rashi, an important Rashi over here, first let me read the pasuk and then I go to Rashi. Kevish Niftach Sefer Torah. So once the Sefer Torah is open up, Aser Lestaper Afilu B'Dvar Halacha, you can't talk. You can't talk, not having a casual conversation, Sichas Chulin. You can't even have a Sicha B'Dvar Halacha. Okay, we're not speaking bad, we're speaking good. We're talking Torah, it doesn't matter. Now while the Sefer Torah is open, Shenamar, Uvepescho, Amdu Kol Ha'am, the Ein Amida Elashtika. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Ezra that Uve Pischo, when it was opened, Amdu Kol Ha'am. Now there's a Rashi over here for Pischo Ukishe Hischil. So Rashi over here writes that in terms of what are we talking about when we say the opening of the Torah. So it sounds like from Rashi Kishe Hischil, meaning the beginning of the Kriya, meaning that the taking out of the Sefer Torah. Again, sure you shouldn't talk in general, but okay, that's a general conduct issue in terms of having a reverence for the basic Knesset. But on top of that, further though, the halacha is very clear. When the Sefer Torah is out, so you shouldn't talk. What does that mean, Sefer Torah being out? So from Rashi, it sounds like when the Sefer Torah when the Baal Kori starts reading the Sefer Torah, the Amida is a reference to Shtika. Shenemar ve'ochalti ki lo yidabru ki amdu lo anu. So the lo anu od. So Rav Zera Amar Rav Chista Mehacha Ve'azne Kol Am El Sefer Torah. Another pasuk that also speaks to the same idea that the Amida is a reference to Shtika, and therefore you shouldn't talk while the Sefer Torah is being read. Just as a separate issue, also which the Gemara doesn't discuss, but it's the Gemara is the discussion point, is that you need to stand during Kriyas HaTorah. So that part is not clear. Now the pasuk in Ezra says over Pischa when they open the Sefer Torah, Amdu Kol Am. So the pasuk in Ezra says very clearly. It's actually Nehemiah, but the pasuk says very clearly that they stood while.
This is in Hakel or something else. What reading is this?
I didn't look it up, so that's on me. But it's very clear that they stood. When they read. However, the Gemara, here's where the discussion gets interesting. The Gemara says, do you know what Amida means? Amida doesn't mean stand. Amida means they were quiet, meaning that the Amida really here in this context is code for they didn't talk. So when the Gemara now is reinterpreting the pasuk in Nehemiah, is the Gemara now saying that there's no requirement of Amida whatsoever? It just means you can't talk. Or does the Gemara mean that both Amida means literally to stand and Shtika, and it also means to be quiet as well? So that part is subject to a debate, and people have various practices in what they do, whether they stand or sit for Kriyas HaTorah, and this basically is the source of that discussion as well. Right? Yesterday we spent the day talking about Nesias Kapayim, Duchening, and somebody said, what about washing your hands? Where is that in the Gemara? So this little I knew. So it's today's daf. Meaning, here we go, the Gemara says that when a Kohen that does not wash his hands, Lo Yisas Kapav, is not allowed to do Nesias Kapav. So the pasuk says that Se'u Yidechem Kodesh, you have to elevate your hands in Kedusha and Baruchus Hashem, and then bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So your hands have to be in a state of Tahara. Look at Rashi once again, small Rashi over here, but important. Shelo Nato Yadav Lifnei Olasol Aduchan. Now the Gemara doesn't tell us when the Kohen's washing his hands. We can assume, only because we see it time and again, it must be talking about right before Duchening, right? So from Rashi, it sounds like, yeah, that's correct. That would be the right answer. Meaning that there has to be a specific washing right before Duchening. That's what Rashi says over here. If you want more on this topic, so you can take a look at Tosis over here, Kol Kohen Shelo Natal Yadav, here's Rashi. So Amar Li Rebbe, Im Natal Yadav Shachris, Vinitar, Kohen, Enu Tzarech Litol Yadav, Kishaola Leduchen. So the quote in the name of Rashi, which is strange, because we just read Rashi inside, and Rashi inside didn't say this. So obviously this must be a student reporting in the name of Rashi, and but reporting in the name of Rashi, that as long as the Kohen washes his hands in the morning, that's fine. Meaning that there doesn't have to be a specific hand washing for Duchening. It just simply means that the Kohen's hands have to be washed. So if they're washed in the morning, so then it's like pre-check. It's like if the Kohen now is pre-washed, you can just go straight up to the Duchen. Uchemeduma shehu atak ma'agas tamid sharei ein l'shono mashmekach. And Tosos says, basically, Tosos, he takes to task this student who was copying Rashi down. So Tosos says, whoever this is, did not copy Rashi correctly. Tosos over here quotes the Rashi that we have, and Rashi over here doesn't sound that way. So once again, there's a discussion in the Rishonim. You see already by Rashi, a discussion within Rashi whether you need a specific washing for the Duchen, or is it just enough that they wash their hands some point in the morning? Okay, the halacha is that we do it like Rashi describes over here right beforehand.
Just a quick note: I had read about the B spread. I was studying about the B spread. The Lewis curve is made of multiple B spreads. It's been studied that it draws energy, and is energy actually going through the B spread of the Kohen priest?
You're not going to see that in the Gemara. None of that's coming up in the Gemara. I understand. Okay. They asked Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua the following: how do you live such a long life? The Gemara Megillah has a whole series of these kinds of discussions between Rebbe and Talmud. right? A rabbi made it to a certain venerable old age, and the student says, "Okay, just tell me the secrets. I'm dying to know. What's your tricks?" So Amar Lahem. So and you'll see in the Gemara Megillah, right? We did this not that long ago, but you'll see in the Gemara Megillah, everyone basically says, "I follow the halacha," because obviously, in other words, you follow the halacha, and then I did a couple of nihugim that went above and beyond the baseline halacha. So, and each one of them had their own chumrah, so to say, that they took on. So here, now we're reading the Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua, his particular practices that went above and beyond halacha. So, Amar Lahem, my law seems to basically ask Kampandra. Number one, I never use the shul as a shortcut. Now, right, not for now, but on another occasion, another time, you know, the discussion is, that's not a chumrah. That's a basic halacha. You can't use the shul as a shortcut. So, but anyway, I never walked over people's heads. Rashi over here says, please don't take this literally. That's also something you shouldn't do. But Rashi just basically says that the students were sitting in the Beis Medrash, and they were sitting on the floor. And what generally would happen is that when the Rebbe would come in, the Rosh Yeshiva would come in, so he'd be walking between them. It looks as if he was stepping on them. Obviously, he wasn't. So, anyway, but he said as a personal conduct, Niyagai, I didn't even do that. Okay. Velonasati kam pipalo bracha. So, and what I didn't do is that I didn't, whenever I duchen, I made sure to duchen with a bracha. So I never duchen without making a bracha. And again, we could still ask the same question. Meaning that's a chumrah. That's you're doing a mitzvah, and yeah, there's a birchas a mitzvah that was instituted. You should do it. Okay. So anyway, Rashi points out that he was a Kohen. It's even strange that Rashi even had to point that out. My Mavarach, the Gemara over here, you know, the Gemara is interesting in this regard. Sometimes the Gemara is ready to tell us a Nusach HaTfilah, no problem. And there are other times when the Gemara is like, you know, like, in other words, I'm not even going to tell you what the Bracha is. In other words, there's a certain assumption the Gemara makes that we know Nusach HaTfilah, right? The Gemara never goes through Shemone Esrei. Because we know. Because, you know, it was something that was already standardized and everyone knew it. And sometimes the Gemara has to go over the Nusach of the Bracha, apparently. It wasn't clear, perhaps. One of those things which you kind of assume, but it's not there, right? The bracha that we make over Halakas near Shabbos. I'm just throwing out an example. So you know where that bracha is found in the Gemara? The answer is never. The bracha of Lahalik near Shal Shabbos, that's not found in the Gemara anywhere. In fact, some Rishonim say that there's no bracha. Some Rishonim say that there's no bracha to make on Neir Shabbos. I know to us that seems strange, but it's not found in the Gemara. So sometimes the Gemara writes out the brachas, and sometimes the Gemara doesn't. Over here, the Gemara does. My Mevarach, Amra Bizera, Amra Chista, Asher Kitchan, Bikdusha, Sosha Aaron, Vitzivano, Levarach, Esamo Yisrael, Bi Ahava. Okay, so the Gemara gives us a nusach of the bracha. The word bi'ava is obviously the word of interest over here in the bracha, meaning, generally speaking, what is the bracha's a mitzvah? It's describing what's the mitzvah. Rarely does the bracha's a mitzvah. Bracha's a mitzvah is super clinical. It's just, here's the mitzvah, here's the bracha. Right? Al natilas lulav, lahadlik ner shel Shabbos, lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. It's always super clinical, and here, like in the brichos a mitzvah of duchening, so we have a mitzvah levarach esamo Yisrael bi ahava, and we're going to do it with love. It's most unusual, and not only is it unusual, like, where is this coming from? I mean, what's the source of this part of the mitzvah? So presumably you can say, although the Gemara doesn't say this, and I'm merely making a suggestion, this goes back to the panim al-panim, meaning it has to be face-to-face, and generally speaking, when two people are not happy with one another, so you generally speaking, it's not panim keneged panim, you know, you turn your back on the person, you don't like the person, okay, maybe. But that's certainly the word of note. Ki akar kare mai amar. When he is oker raglav, meaning, what should the Kohen be saying as he's making his way to Duchen? You hear at Somofanecha, Hashem Elkein, Shetei Barachazu, Shetzivi Son, Levarach, Esamcha Yisrael, Lo Yehe Ba Mechshal, Avon, I'm sorry, Mechshal, Ve'avon. Okay, so a small tefillah that he makes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I shouldn't stumble, and there shouldn't be any type of Avon. V'chei Mahadra Apei Mitzibor, and my Amar, and when he goes back, when he finishes, so, right, he's going to eventually turn around and face the teva. What bracha do you make? What tefillah do you make when you do that? We're obviously addressing the Kohanim right now. Amar Adaber Rav Chisla Rav Ukva V'Darish. Rav Chisla was escorting Rav Ukva, and he said, "Ribono Shel Olam, Asinu Ma Shegazarta Aleinu." So, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we did exactly as instructed. Say Manu Ma Shiftachtanu. Please do for us what you promised, Hashkifa Mamon Kashachem Nashamayim V'Chulei, and you quote the pasuk from the beginning of Parshas Kisavo, right? Basically, bestow bracha upon us as well. All right, Amar of Chista. We're now in the top of Lamed Tesamad Beis. More halachas regarding duchening. Ein kohanim rasham lachov kishreitz basav ad sheyachazru paneim min hatzibur. They cannot retract, right, to bend their knuckles, their fingers, ad sheyachazru paneim min hatzibur, until they turn away from the tzibur. Meaning their arms are extended, their arms are raised, their hands are extended as well. The Gemara does not articulate how the kohanim's hands should look during duchening. We have various minhagim in terms of how it's done. I'm not a kohen, so you know I can only tell you what other people have shown me. I do know that the Vilna Gaon, yeah, you're right. Vilna Gaon obviously is the kohanim's shape their hands like a V. Again, you're not going to find this in the Gemara. This is just simply Masorah. It's just tradition that goes down from generation to generation. But the Vilna Gaon was opposed to that. The Vilna Gaon says that that's not the way the kohanim should have their hands. They should have their hands all fingers spread. I would say the minhag is not to follow the Gaon, but again, where does the Gaon get it from? So, you'll be happy to hear this. The Gaon gets it from Kabbalah, meaning the Gaon was not only fluent in Torah Shebaal Peh, meaning what I do, but also he knew the Torah Snister as well. So okay, anyway, so. So, in terms of the retraction of your arms, so the Kohanim should do that, but only after they turn around and turn away from the tzibur. Amar Ibzer, Amar Chista, Eina Kari Rasha Likros Kohanim, Ad Sheichala Amei Mipi Tzibur. And basically, the next like 10 lines of Gemara are all going to basically say, "Don't rush through this." I mean, that's the general idea as we read the next 10 lines of Gemara. So. Okay, right. For us Ashkenazim, I think it's a little bit easier because we do this so infrequently. But okay, don't rush. So Aina Kari Rashali Kros Kohanim Ashikala Amei PFC. But so first of all, you gotta finish the bracha of Modim, answer Amen, then and only then do you the Makri calls that Kohanim. Vaina Kohanim Rashallah Bracha Shala Dibra Mi Pia Kore. And then the Kohanim can only start, but only after the Makri finishes calling out Kohanim. Vaina Tzibur Rasham Lanos Amen Ashitala Bracha Mi Pia Kohanim. And we should answer Amen to all three of the psukim until the kohanim actually finished the bracha. Veina kohanim rishal aschal bebracha acheret seishichal amen mipi atzibur. And the kohen should continue now with the next bracha, the next pasuk until we finish with amen. Ve'amar Rabbi Zera Amar Rav Chista Veina kohanim rishal lachzir panem in atzibur ashi aschal shlech tzibur b'sim shalom. Okay, the next halacha. When do the kohanim turn and face away from the crowd? That's only when you get to when the shlech tzibur finishes. Starts with Sim Shalom. And in terms of going back, so they shouldn't go back until the Shliach Tzibur finishes Sim Shalom. Minhag amongst the Kohanim is to wait for Kaddish after the Shema. I'm just speaking in the Ashkenazim. I don't know the. Also Kaddish. Wait to. Huh? Right. It's not, okay. Fine. Okay, but that should be the halach. Okay. The Gemara over here says Sim Shalom. The Amar Rabbi Zera Amar V'Chista. By Shach. Well, right, because you have halal. So right. So yeah. Right. There's no. There,
huh?
Well, our minhag is again. Now we're talking about Simchas Torah. So outside of Eretz Yisrael. So our minhag is to duchen during Shacharis. So there's right, Rabbi Katz points out. There's no Kaddish afterwards. So they go back. But okay.
I think it says that
you should Yigmor Shliach Tzibur. Ashi Yigmor Shliach Tzibur Sim Shalom. Right. Yeah, correct. Excellent correction. Okay, you're right. So, and it could be that the Kaddish is part of, it could be considered part of it. Okay, could be. Okay, good. Amar Bezer, Amar Vchese, Netzibur Hashem, La'anos Amen, Ashi Techala Bracha Mipi Akorei. So, Once again, in the context of don't rush. So we're going to do the same thing now that we just did for Birchas Kohanim, and now we're going to do with Kriyas HaTorah. Okay, with the same basic idea, and that is don't rush. Right, everything and everyone should be doing things in their turn. So I'm Rav Zera Rav Chisdei Netziv Baruch Shalom Osamein Ashit Chala Bracha Mipi HaKorei. So the Korei, meaning nowadays, of course, it's not the Korei, but you know that back then, if you got called up for an Aliyah, that also meant you're reading the Sefer Torah. That was the good old days. Okay, so nowadays we have a designated Bal Korei. So but the idea is still the same, meaning that the tzibor should wait till the Oleg makes a bracha and finishes a bracha before they answer Amen. And as far as the Bal Korei is concerned, so he should wait until Amen is said by the tzibor. Now the targum shouldn't start targuming until the Bal Korei finishes the pasuk. Okay, in days gone by, the minhag Yisrael used to be that we would read a pasuk in the Torah, finish the pasuk, and then there would be a guy standing there by the bima, and he would translate. And I've been there myself, right? Davening the Yemenite Shul many years ago. I've been there myself, but davening the Yemenite Shul, and I saw it. I saw the laning, the targum. It's beautiful. Okay, nowadays, unfortunately, we don't understand targum, so the minhag has kind of. Many years gone by now since we've had this minhag of the targum coming alongside. And also, I'd say, you could say this now in the last 10, 20 years, but also patience becomes an issue as well. I mean, can you imagine every pasuk and shul and then targum in every pasuk and shul?
But in Israel, they took them 3 years to finish.
Right, I understand, right. Following our system and also having a targum, it'd be nice to think we should have the patience for it, but. Okay, Aji Chala Pasuk Mipi HaKorei. So again, in the context of our Gemara, so Targum should only start Targuming only after the Pasuk has been read. V'Nakorei Shalas Chol B'Pasuk Acher Shechala Targum Mipi HaTargim. And then we're going to go now in the cycle where now the Baal Korei's got to wait for the Targum to finish his Targum. Okay, so basically, once again, same basic idea. Everybody needs to wait their turn. I'm Rabbi Tanchum, I'm Rabbi Shua Ben Levi. I'm Afti Ben Avi Tzar Shikari B'Tor Tzchila. We're going to say a Haftarah. Okay, the Gemara assumes that we know. I mean, we know, but that after Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, so there was an institution that was made. Again, the history of this is something that you'll ask somebody who knows more than I do about these things. There are a lot of people out there. But anyway, we have an institution that we read a perek of or a piece of Navi. The Gemara at the end of Megillah basically goes through the Haftarahs, not for every Shabbos, but on Yomim Tovim, and right there there's a list of certain Haftarahs that you say. Okay, but we have a minhag you sought to say. A piece of Navi, generally speaking, Yeshayahu, but others as well. All right, last Shabbos we did Ovadia, right? The entire Sefer Ovadia. Okay, anyway, so and again, we know this as well, but this is the Gemara that tells us that before you read from the Navi, so the one who is getting maftir, he's got to read three psukim. And again, we have a Bal Korei, but you got to read three psukim from the Torah, at least three psukim from the Torah before you read from the Navi. So why should that be? So the Rashi over here, and Rashi over here does not say. No. So, but the basic reason is because we don't want to give any primacy to, we want to make sure to still have primacy to the Torah. So we don't want somebody to be called up just to say Navi, meaning, and obviously, not trying to slight the Navi whatsoever, but in other words, in the context of comparing the Navi to the Torah, so primacy obviously goes to the Torah, so we don't want to call somebody up just for Maftir, so therefore you read three psukim from the Torah first. Also, the maftir can't start his haftarah until the sefer Torah is rolled up. So and here look at this Rashi. This is a great Rashi. Achi tigalos sefer Torah. Rashi writes b'mit pachosav. Right, they had handkerchiefs, whatever, nice decorative items to roll up a sefer Torah. Kidei shelo yogolim terudim lishmo haftarah mipi amaftir, because we want, says Rashi, everybody to hear haftarah. We want the person rolling the Torah, wrapping the Torah. We want him to hear haftarah as well. And so therefore, I know. look. Yeah. So we want him to be hearing the Haftarah as well. So everyone should be hearing Haftarah. So that's why we wait for the goal to finish before saying the Haftarah. V'amar Rabbi Tanchu, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Enshlech Tzibur, Vashal Hafshit, Ez HaTeva, B'Tzibur, Mimnei Kavadat Tzibur. You can't strip down the Teva because of Kavadat Tzibur. The Rashi over here describes what the Gemara here is describing. Let's just do this, and we'll continue tomorrow. Rashi writes, "Lafshi is a tibur tibur calls manshat tibur bebeis haknesses shaydarkam lahavi sefer Torah mi beis acher shemishdamer bol lebeis haknesses a person begadim na'im saviv ateva or menichan osa besocha." So back in the good old days, says Rashi, the minhag used to be where the sefer Torah was not kept in shul, in a private in a more secured area, and so that means that for on Shabbos that sefer Torah would have to be taken from another house over to the shul. Right, the Gemara in Erevin has a couple of instances where we forgot to set up an Erev, and now we can't carry the shul from the house. Right, you remember that, right? From the house to the shul. Anyway, that used to be the minhag, and not like what we do. And so Rashi describes that back then. Now before the sefer Torah was placed on the bima, so they made the bima nice. They used to put nice handkerchiefs and decorate it. Zekili van veil. Ukishi yotzim misham and only sefer Torah lo lichol abes amishdamir bo lo yashito abegadim min atev. Don't start deconstructing the teva now. Meaning you have the tzibur there right now. You're basically going to create a, right, one of our most favorite lines to use, tircha de tzibura, right? It's going to be onerous. It's disrespectful to the tzibur. Where now you're going to take apart the teva. It's not. Don't do it now. Do it later. We're going to remove the Sefer Torah now. That's fine because, you know, we're going to put it in the secure area. But don't quote unquote waste time now. It's not really wasting. But don't use time now. That's Seaboard's time. So don't use it now to take it apart. Okay, Adkan. Okay, we'll stop over here tomorrow. We'll pick it up with Amar Rabbi Tanchum. The Sefer Torah should go out before everyone else. We'll start with that tomorrow. Okay, so again, today we more on Birchas Kohanim. Most of today's daf revolved around Birchas Kohanim. A couple of detours that had to do with the halachas of Kriyas Sefer Torah, but most of it continued a discussion of Duchenne.